Hello. Welcome to another episode of Power Trip with Stephen Michael. I am Stephen Michael. I want to talk right now about racism, but more in the difference between white people being racist and black people being mean to white people. Because there seems to be some sort of argument online amongst white people who try to argue pardon me, that black people can be racist. And I think that's not really understood by what I disagree with that assessment, and I have for a long, long time, that black people can be racist. I know that black people can be mean to white people. They can say things to us. They can even go so far as assault us, you know, because we're white. Does that really happen on a mass scale? No. For the most part, most of us get through the day pretty well without fear of being attacked by the average black citizen. It just doesn't really happen. But the repercussions when black people are what some white people might refer to as racist, the repercussions are immediate, just absolutely immediate. Black person assaults a white person, guess what? Black person goes to jail if they survive the encounter with the police. When a black person posts something on the internet about white people, there was a case about that young girl who worked at the zoo. She said she had to get back to dealing with all those white people. I can't remember exactly what she said, but she was swiftly fired. And I know a lot of white people probably thought that was hilarious and that she was deserving of being fired. And I don't, but you know, that's neither here nor there. The point is that it's swift. There's no room for error there. When black people try to be what we would refer to as racist, they don't get away with it. And because white people make sure that they don't get away with it. So that's why I really just disagree with the assessment that black people can be racist, because there's no power there. You know, when we talk about racism in the world, you know, we're really trying to get across the idea of systemic racism, the idea of power of one group over another group. You know, when there's that whole, like, you know, Webster's dictionary version of racism where someone feels superior to another person because of the color of their skin. That's supposed to be this odd definition of racism that doesn't really have any real impact on anyone. If a black man feels superior to me as a white man because he's black, just because he's black, if he feels that superior to me because of the colors of our skin, that still has absolutely no impact on my life at all. And if the black man were to decide to take some sort of aggressive action towards me because I'm white, well, that black dude should just end up in jail if he survives the encounter with the police. That is not a joke. I'm not making light of the violence. I'm just making the point that they can't really be racist. The word be is a verb in that sentence. They have to actually do it and get away with it. Otherwise, they're not really racist. Maybe they're just being a little mean. I tried to compare it to sports. Like if you wanted to play tennis and you went out and you bought all the gear, you went through the motions, you bought a racket, some shorts, headband, but you actually have to play tennis to be called a tennis player. You're not really a tennis player until you've done it. I don't know how far into the analogy you want to go. I don't know if you have to win a match or just hit a ball against the wall. Probably not the latter, maybe the former. But you can't be a tennis player until you actually play the game. And if someone stops you from playing the game, someone actively gets in your way, won't let you on the court, won't allow you to hit the ball, then you don't really get to be a tennis player, do you? No, but you want to, but you can't, but you don't, because you don't have the power to get past the people blocking you. And that's the systemic aspect of it, the power. When black people are mean to white people, it doesn't change anything for us as white people. We still go about our business. However, when white people are mean to black people, there are repercussions, but not really so much towards the white people. It's towards the black people. Whether it's the violence that they suffered at the hands of white people over decades, from lynchings to the KKK, to churches being firebombed by the KKK. You know, this is terrorism. We had terrorism in America before we commonly called it terrorism. You know, do you think that when white people assaulted black people for daring to try to register to vote, for daring to have a protest, do you think that didn't have a chilling effect on the black community to see that they could be murdered for trying to speak out? That's terrorism. Terrorism is utilizing violence, or at the very least, the threat of violence, in order to achieve some sort of political agenda. And in this case, the political agenda is white superiority over black. That is the textbook definition of terrorism. So when white people are obsessed with the textbook definition of racism and saying that as long as a person feels superior over another, that's racism, but yet the textbook definition of terrorism doesn't seem to apply to white people in the United States. Dylann Roof was a terrorist. Try to find a headline in the news that once called him a terrorist shortly after he murdered all those people in that church. It's very difficult. Most of the headlines that refer to him as a terrorist are in rebuttal to all the other articles that didn't call him a terrorist, because that's what he is. He was trying to achieve a political goal. In his eyes, he was trying to start a race war. That is terrorism. But we only consider terrorists people who aren't white, brown skin, to be a terrorist. That's how we define things in this country, because whiteness is centered. We don't see it the same, and I don't know why, because to me, it's pretty obvious. Textbook definition of terrorism, you guys ignore. Textbook definition of racism, you won't shut up about. But again, I have to get back to the analogy of being a tennis player. When a black person wants to be mean to a white person, there's always someone there to basically stop them, you know, especially if it, you know, if they wanted to try to assault us or whatever. When they're verbally mean to us on the internet, not that big a deal. Sometimes they do lose their job. But again, we go about our business. It doesn't affect us. When we, white people, are mean to black people, that racism has power behind it. When you constantly dehumanize a group of people, there's going to be a lasting impact on that with the way they're treated by those in authority. They feel it not just when we use the words, but how it impacts their lives when they have to be concerned about the job interview, whether or not the person's going to take them seriously, whether or not that the interviewer is not a racist by itself. They also have to worry about whether or not their salaries are going to be up to par with what white people are earning, because in this country, there's still different levels of wage gaps. I would suggest that in one way we could fix the wage gap issue, and it doesn't really fix it per se, but it would take a step in the right direction. It should always be legal and all, basically, right now it is legal for an employer to fire you if they hear that you're discussing your salaries amongst your co-workers. They can fire you for that. I think it's legal in all 50 states. I'm not a lawyer, but to my knowledge, everywhere in the U.S., if you are caught discussing your salaries with your coworkers, you can be terminated. How can you know whether or not you're being paid a fair wage if you can't talk about it amongst your coworkers. So there's always been this idea in America where it's just a faux pas to even mention how much we earn amongst our coworkers. I really think we need to get rid of that. I think legally speaking, all employees should be protected. I don't think any employer should be allowed to fire someone just for discussing your wages. How are you supposed to know you're getting a fair wage if you don't know what everybody else is earning? That is side of is somewhat of a tangent, but it boils down to the way we treat each other. Black people, when they are paid less, and black women are paid less than anyone in America, that affects their lives. Their livelihoods are impacted by the racism of white people. To me, this isn't that hard to understand. The jokes, the mockery. If all it was hurt feelings, do you really think that we'd be seeing protests and riots? No. It's not about hurt feelings. It's about the repercussions. It's about black people not... I'm sorry. It's about police officers not seeing black people as human. It's about police officers seeing black people as immediately guilty, as immediately a threat. It's about police officers just freaking the hell out when they ask a black man, I need to see your ID, and then the black man reaches for the ID that he was literally just asked for, and the police shoot him. And that really happened. I'm not making that up. So
we will be right back to Power Trip on KZTL.
Dare for Greatness with Kevin Wayne Johnson, the visionary, author, pastor, and dynamic speaker. Don't Accept Mediocrity, certified under John Maxwell's international team. Kevin Wayne Johnson will teach you how to reach for greatness and aspire to be the best. Contact Kevin Wayne Johnson to speak at your business or event, showing his 15 laws of growth for maximum success.
Everyone can communicate, but only a few can connect. Let me show you how to connect.
Welcome to Skyhound. While most UAV companies are run by RC hobbyists, we are professionals in aviation, expanding with this new and exciting technology to better serve you, our customers. With our diverse fleet of unmanned aerial vehicles, we are able to offer a wide range of customizable services. Our services include, but are not limited to, real estate. Skyhound offers aerial photography and videography that will add a competitive edge to luxury listings. 3D modeling. Skyhound enables a project manager to properly manage their sites from the comfort of their office or home. Farming and wildlife conservation. Skyhound not only provides aerial videography and photography, but infrared imagery as well. This method aids farmers in differentiating water level disparities underneath the soil, thus enabling safer and efficient management of the crop's life cycle. So, what are you waiting for? Discover how Skyhound can offer you and your clients a different perspective about your business or product. Contact us today for a free consultation.
Tammy Grant is the CEO of Creative Expressions Picture Video Service. She helps business owners promote their products and services.
Three key power promotional essentials for a successful business.
And that is through videography promotion, social media marketing, and web design services. In addition, they specialize in servicing speaking professionals, startups, and small businesses.
My overall goal is to help business owners increase in profits and sales.
Hey everybody out there in Radio Land. This is Pistol Raw from Smushmap Inc. and the 8416 MGM Company LLC. I just need a couple of seconds of your time. I got a couple of questions for you. Are you tired of hearing radio playing the same 10 songs in a row over and over again? Are you tired of more commercials than music? Do you find the topics that really matter to you aren't being covered by your mainstream talk radio? Well, if you love music and being on top of the current events as much as I do, you've answered yes to all of these questions. Now, what is the solution? I got you. Tune in to KZTLRadio.com, the 24-hour internet radio, the answer to the blah blah of mainstream. And not just for music, for sports, comedy, talk radio with no barriers, and with music that doesn't require a 10-song rotation playlist. Look, your ears deserve to hear what you want, not what mainstream wants you to hear. Just jump on any laptop, iPad, or anything with internet access, type in KZTLRadio.com, hit search, and let your ears feel the bliss of free-range radio. That's KZTLRadio.com, the true alternative to mainstream radio, for sure. Don't forget, KZTLRadio.com, and tell them P. Raw sent you.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael, and you are listening to Power Trip on KZTL Radio.
So, the idea that white people are somehow worse off from a black person making fun of something about white people, I'm not getting it. I'm not... Okay, so we can't dance. Historically, our stereotypes are things like we can't dance. We have really thin lips. We get sunburned easily. That doesn't do anything to us. You know, we go to a job interview, it's all the same. You know, the interview is probably white, and we don't have to worry about it. But it doesn't work that way when you're black in America. You know, the racism isn't about, you know, how dare you generalize white people. And I'm seeing things like that on the internet, you know, with, you know, a black person says something about white people and a white person says, that's racist. You just generalized all of white people. That's racist. White people want so badly to be able to say they're oppressed, and the evidence just isn't there. You know, white people, we could say historically, are guilty of oppressing each other. Other white people. That's how bad it is when you look at it. I mean, if you go back even to Europe, you know, when the English were oppressing the Scottish and the Irish. I mean, there were wars fought over that stuff. There's movies made about it. White people oppressing other white people. That's what they did. We just had to take it another level and start including, you know, people of other colors. Because, I don't know, it's just part of our culture from hundreds of years ago, and we can't let it go for some reason. Basically, you're going to be fine. If a black person's mean to you, your day will go on and no one will care. Black people, on the other hand, if someone's mean to them, I don't think that they really care about their, you know, you hurting their feelings. Although, you know, it sucks to, you know, to have someone insult you and dehumanize you. So there's that. But the idea is that this is going to impact their life. You know, not just you as an individual, but white people have a bad habit of sharing this ideology amongst each other. It's never just one person. It goes from person to person to person. And I've been in situations that are really awkward, where white people who are racist, they think everybody else is a white racist too. And so they'll just go on and on and on about black people and how much they hate them and how they've ruined neighborhoods. And it's just like, you're like, this is a really awkward conversation to be having with you right now, but you don't need to call black people the N-word, you know, that whatever. And then they'll do this, well, there's good black people and there's bad black people. And I'm like, and so then I'm like, okay, but that's how it is with everybody. You don't have to treat everybody is like that. White people have bad white people. We just call them what they are. We call them assholes. You can call black people assholes when they're being an asshole. You don't need to make it about the fact that they're black. It doesn't enter into the conversation. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. Just people are douchey sometimes, and it's okay to call them out on that. But when you make it about their race, when you make it about a collective, when you make it about them as a whole people, for some reason, white people just love to spread that knowledge amongst each other. And then they form organizations in regards to it. And they come up with these great names like the Ku Klux Klan or white nationalists or alt-right members. They're real big on franchising and branding. They love their branding. They like to make sure their names are out there. And white people organize for this. So it's not just about the hard feelings between white people and black people. It's about the real life repercussions. It's about the blood. It's about the tears. It's about people losing their lives, losing their livelihoods, not being able to support their families because of actions taken by white people. The racism that starts with just words with white people, given enough time, do not stay words. And you don't have to look that far back in history to see that. Like Dylann Roof, for example, who is still in the news, whose trials aren't over yet. He's still got some more trials to go through. The repercussions, real repercussions. And yeah, they arrested Dylann Roof. They took him to frickin' Burger King to give him some food calmly and feed him and then take him to jail. Yeah, they do that with black people all the time, right? They arrest a black person and before they take him to jail, they take him to Burger King first. Isn't that what we do with all black arrestees? Isn't that the process? Pretty sure it's not, but let's pretend it is for the sake of argument, because I think you can see that if that were the case, it would probably hurt the national debt a lot to be taking everybody that ever gets arrested ever to Burger King. Or maybe the cops paid for it out of their own pocket. Maybe they approved of what Dylann Roof did. Who knows? But there are real-life repercussions from the words. It's not just words when white people do it. It's just a matter of time before it spirals out of control and becomes violence. It would be different. Maybe, and by the way, and I know I've said this in previous shows, I don't ever want to imply that I'm speaking for black people. This is all from my own knowledge, experience, things I've ascertained from things I've read elsewhere. You know, I'm not speaking for black people. Black people could have an entirely different opinion about this. This is just me spouting off some random thoughts that I have on systemic racism. The non, quote-unquote, the non-systemic racism, I just don't care about. It's the systemic racism that affects lives is the problem. The dehumanization of a group of people is a problem. You don't do that and then not expect there to be a result. You know, actions have consequences. Words in our society have led to brutal actions. There are still probably, I assume they're alive, although they may have died from old age by now, the KKK members who firebombed churches where several black people died, they never solved those murders. I mean, those KKK members walked free. Unless they went to jail for another reason that was unrelated, they never... the black families never saw justice from a lot of those cases. You can still find photos on the internet, smiling white faces in front of imagery of black people who had recently been lynched. Smiling faces in front of black people who had just been murdered by them. That is terrifying. That not only could they go through the action of lynching black people just for being black, but then they could smile about it to a camera. And there's more than one of those floating around out there. this isn't that long ago. You know, this isn't generations. You know, we're talking our, you know, grandparents. You know, maybe to the younger youngest generation, great grandparents at most. And in some cases, just our parents, because some of us are old enough to, that our parents were alive then. It's hard for me to fathom how anyone can be that way. You know, I've said this to other people. I don't like the kumbaya attitude. I don't like the let's all love one another thing. I'm just not that kind of person. I'm not the love, peace, you know, everybody hug one another thing. I'm kind of grumpy. I can, you know, I'm like that, what's that, Eeyore? If you know Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. I'm like that. But I can't fathom what it would take to get the energy and anger to the point where you would want to harm another person just because they're different. I've never been able to understand that my entire life. But that seems to be the crux of our society, the whole thing. I mean, starting from, you know, when Christopher Columbus came over to not the Americas, but one of the islands by accident, and, you know, and eventually ended up enslaving, you know, the natives. And then other people came over here and slaughtered more natives. And then other people came over here with slaves and they slaughtered more natives and then started, you know, enslaving more people. And that's what we did. We figured out what wasn't white. And we didn't view them as being equal because they dressed differently or just their skins were different colors, or we didn't value them as human beings. And it's been like that for centuries. And we're still at a point now where it's 2017. You would think that by now we would have learned. We have knowledge at our fingertips whenever we want now. I mean, we can check history and see what all's taken place, but most of Americans are still ignorant to what has taken place over the past 100 years. There are still Americans who have no idea that Black Wall Street even happened, that thousands of black people were slaughtered, that tens of thousands were displaced. There are still people in this country who have no idea that that took place. I can't imagine how we can still be that way. I get it. Maybe it's because of the whole... we're a society that's too focused on maybe reality TV. I don't know. Sensationalism. And I see that a lot, too. People blaming the media for the differences in strife that we have between black and white people. It's not the media, idiot. It's just white people creating the strife, black people being angry about it, and then more white people saying, "Why are you so mad?" That's got to drive them insane. I couldn't put up with it, and I'm white, and it's making me a little crazy. You know, there's right and there's wrong. And it's not hard, you know. And being right about something, I don't mean that. I mean the moral authority of being in the right, and it takes more to have the moral authority to be in the right than to just not be the one doing the wrong. The indifference doesn't make you a good person. Apathy does not make you a good person. Not being the bad guy doesn't make you a good person. When you see injustice in the world, you should have to you have to want to do something about it, and not just want, do something, say something, contribute money to something. Don't just be silent, because your silence, in a way, in this particular circumstance, is consent. You're allowing this to take place on your watch. You know, you go back to the Holocaust in Germany and Poland and basically, you know, Europe in general. When it began, it didn't begin with explosions. It began with words. It began with people dehumanizing, you know, Jewish people, and not just Jewish people, but basically anybody who wasn't a white Christian. And they even took it so far as to only allow certain forms of Christianity. They wouldn't allow all of them. They really, really had it broken down. But it didn't begin with war. It was a slow build-up, and it's just, you know, and it began with people who should have said something in the beginning who didn't say anything in the beginning. It began with people not punching Nazis in the face. That's how it began. When the Nazis came out, nobody punched them in the face. And now, in the news, people are punching, you know, modern Nazis in the face. And somehow, some of you are viewing this as being just as bad as being a Nazi. What world do you live on, man? If you could go back in time and be in 1930s Germany and put a stop to everything that's about to take place simply by showing Nazis that we won't put up with that mentality by punching them in the face. I'm sorry, but if it was me in 1930s Germany and I could punch a Nazi in the face, as much as I abhor violence, and I do, I really do abhor violence, but these are Nazis. You know, you kind of get a pass to punch them in the face. That mentality is not allowed. You don't get to say that you want to slaughter any particular type of person and say, oh, by the way, please vote for me so I can make this happen. No. I have no sympathy for Nazis who are punched in the face, and if anybody punches a Nazi in the face and gets away with it, I'll cheer. You know, the slippery slope there is that someone may punch someone who's not actually a Nazi. So, you know, do your homework before you go punch a Nazi in the face. All right. But again, I really do abhor violence, and I really don't want people to fight. But if it's a Nazi, I'm sorry, but whatever. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I want to talk about Trump for a second, because again, I'm talking about systemic racism and the stop and frisk program, which I've spoken about previously. I don't want to beat a dead horse here. And they did end after many years. They did end the stop and frisk program in New York. It was proven that while on paper maybe it didn't seem racist, the stop and frisk program was unequivocally done in a racist way. The police were more likely to stop black people and Latinos than they were white people. And I've mentioned this several times before, but when someone comes up and says, oh, and by the way,
we will be right back to Power Trip on KZTL.
Dare for Greatness with Kevin Wayne Johnson, the visionary, author, pastor, and dynamic speaker.
Don't accept mediocrity.
Certified under John Maxwell's international team, Kevin Wayne Johnson will teach you how to reach for greatness and aspire to be the best. Contact Kevin Wayne Johnson to speak at your business or event, showing his 15 laws of growth for maximum success.
Everyone can communicate, but only a few can connect. Let me show you how to connect.
Welcome to Skyhound. While most UAV companies are run by RC hobbyists, we are professionals in aviation, expanding with this new and exciting technology to better serve you, our customers. With our diverse fleet of unmanned aerial vehicles, we are able to offer a wide range of customizable services. Our services include, but are not limited to, real estate. Skyhound offers aerial photography and videography that will add a competitive edge to luxury listings. 3D modeling. Skyhound enables a project manager to properly manage their sites from the comfort of their office or home. Farming and wildlife conservation. Skyhound not only provides aerial videography and photography, but infrared imagery as well. This method aids farmers in differentiating water level disparities underneath the soil. thus enabling safer and efficient management of the crop's life cycle. So, what are you waiting for? Discover how Skyhound can offer you and your clients a different perspective about your business or product. Contact us today for a free consultation.
Tammy Grant is the CEO of Creative Expressions Picture Video Service. She helps business owners promote their products and services.
Three key power promotional essentials for a successful business.
And that is through videography promotion, social media marketing, and web design services. In addition, they specialize in servicing speaking professionals, startups, and small businesses.
My overall goal is to help business owners increase in profits and sales.
Hey everybody out there in Radio Land, this is Pistol Raw from Smushnap Inc. and the 8416 MGM Company LLC. I just need a couple of seconds of your time. I got a couple of questions for you. Are you tired of hearing radio playing the same 10 songs in a row over and over again? Are you tired of more commercials than music? Do you find the topics that really matter to you aren't being covered by your mainstream talk radio? Well, if you love music and being on top of the current events as much as I do, you've answered yes to all of these questions. Now, what is the solution? I got you. Tune in to KZTLRadio.com, the 24-hour internet radio, the answer to the blah blah of mainstream. And not just for music, for sports, comedy, talk radio with no barriers, and with music that doesn't require a 10-song rotation playlist. Look, your ears deserve to hear what you want, not what mainstream wants you to hear. Just jump on any laptop, iPad, or anything with internet access. Type in KZTLRadio.com, hit search, and let your ears feel the bliss of free-range radio. That's KZTLRadio.com, the true alternative to mainstream radio, for sure. Don't forget, KZTLRadio.com, and tell them P. Raw sent you.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael, and you are listening to Power Trip on KZTL Radio.
By the way, that stop and frisk program, I really want to institute that because I think it's a great idea and I think we should expand it across the country. All right, so we've already established the stop and frisk is racist. Haven't we? Why, yes, as a matter of fact, we have. So when someone says they want to take something that was shown to be racist and then implement it across the country, well, guess what? That person's racist now. It doesn't matter if they've never used the N-word, although the accusation is that Trump in private has used the N-word many times. But granted, we don't have any real footage of that, although I've heard rumors it exists, but let's pretend it doesn't. It doesn't matter. The N-word is not the benchmark of racism. Stop with that. Yes, the N-word is terrible because it's dehumanizing, and that was its intent from the very beginning of being used. But the systemic racism, it doesn't matter. Like, the N-word doesn't enter into stop and frisk. Stop and frisk was implemented in racist ways. It is a racist system. The police did it in a racist way. To say you now want to expand that system, make it even bigger than it was, that makes you racist. You are the train conductor on that racist train. So this is what I mean when I say in order to be racist, it's not just words. Because now you're taking action and you're taking something that you're putting a system in place and you're expanding it. It doesn't matter if you never use the N-word. It doesn't matter if you don't actually tell the police to target black people. When you see that that's what's happening, and then you decide that you want to expand it, then you become a racist. By supporting a racist system, it makes you racist. Even if you never use all the really bad words. These are my opinions. Bad words suck, but the actions suck more. And again, when it comes to white people in America, the words lead to those actions. If they never led to the actions, our discussions would be way different. But white people want to make it about feelings. They want to make it about how much you hurt our feelings. Don't say that about white people. That's reverse, and then there's reverse racism accusation. First of all, by using the phrase reverse racism, you're admitting that there is a path that racism normally takes. So if there's a path that racism normally takes, and that means that every once in a while to deviate in reverse would be reverse racism. By stating that there is reverse racism, you're saying that racism is a real problem, but right now, you want to focus more on you. Reverse racism isn't real. It's purely made up. You guys want to use it in defense of your mediocrity. Like when you couldn't make it into college because you were mediocre. Because your grades weren't all that great. And then you're like, oh, some black person got in whose grades were even worse than mine, even though you can't prove it. White women... never mind. I've already talked about that aspect of affirmative action. And I don't want to get into a long tangent. But again, there's no such thing as reverse racism. Black people do not have the power to implement any racism in America. Even if there was some black community somewhere with a bunch of black people in charge, and they all decided that they were going to make rules and regulations and be mean to white people in the area. Nationally speaking, if word of that ever got out, the government would crack down on that town so fast and hard, it would be obliterated. Because that's what we do. This is why they can't be racist. It's not that they don't have the power, the anger. It's not that black people can't be mean enough. Everybody can be mean enough. It's not that maybe some of them want to. I can't speak for any of them, but statistically speaking, there's probably some out there that do, because that's just the way odds are. It doesn't change the fact that they can't really get away with it. Whenever you see in the news about some black person who apparently attacked a person because they were white, and I can only think of one example off the top of my head, that black person ended up in jail. It's so fast, it's crazy. It's like they're traveling through time, it happened so fast. So, again, the repercussions are there. When white people are racist towards black people, and this was just in the news recently, where a white cop planned in advance to kill a black person, and then the gun that was found in the vehicle of the person that he killed, the gun only had the cop's DNA on it, not the victim's, and yet somehow that cop was still found not guilty of murder. I can't figure out how in a society where we say that that black people can be racist, can't see that, no, they can't, because there's repercussions for black people to do shit like that. When a white person does stuff like that, obviously Dylann Roof is going to go to jail for a long, long time. He may even get the death penalty. I'm not real sure. But, this cop, because he wore a badge, he got away with it. And I don't know if maybe they're going to charge him with maybe something else to try to somehow put his stupid ass in jail. I don't know. But for now, he's walking free because the penalty just isn't there. And when we see a cop that we know murdered another black person, even with video footage and witnesses, we can't be certain that they're going to go to jail. So that's systemic, man. That's systemic from the ground up. The jurors, the judges, the press, the media. The media, as much as conservatives hate the media really has the back of pretty much all white people, which is why they never refer to white people as terrorists in headlines or in the news. They They protect the cops. They show mugshots of victims. You know, it's a very biased way of reporting, and we have to stop pretending like there's this liberal, sensational, war-mongering. By war-mongering, I mean like race war-mongering. It doesn't exist. You know, it's... I guess if they're supposed to be a liberal media, liberal media bias, they could be doing a better job. I want to see them do a better job, you know, but if they are, they're kind of sucking at it. There are real repercussions to white people using words, and it's not that it makes black people sad. It's that it actually affects their lives. It's not a difficult equation to work out. You know, I want us all to be civil with one another. I really do. You know, as much as I just got done a few minutes ago talking about punching Nazis in the face, I really want us to be civil all the time. I want everybody to at least be able to get along enough that we can make it through the day. We go to work. We get paid. Pay our bills. We live, right? Black people don't get that luxury in this country. So I guess you guys, white people, kind of want to put the cart before the horse. They want black people to be nice to white people all the time before they're willing to do anything to help black people with racism. White black people have been putting up with this for centuries. They shouldn't have to kiss your ass or beg or plead or get down on their knees and ask you for your assistance in stopping racism. You should be stopping racism because racism is evil and it's the right thing to do. And if you should come across a black person who's in a mood, maybe because another white person touched their hair without asking or even just asked, which is annoying by itself, let it fly. You know, what's the rhyme I've seen? If it doesn't apply, let it fly. Something like that. You know, you don't need to tell us how it's not all white people. No one cares. Of course it's not all white people. We kind of know that. But it's enough white people. That's the problem. If it was a teeny tiny 0.0001% of the population, maybe we wouldn't even be talking about it. But it's enough white people that, they might generalize us from time to time. But if it doesn't apply to you, if it really doesn't describe you as a person, you don't need to point it out. You don't need to say it's that you're not like that. I see that way too much. Coming out there like, well, not me. Yeah, seriously, don't center yourself. It doesn't need to be about you. Do you really need validation that badly? You know, when I see black people complain about white people, yeah, they're probably right. And if it doesn't apply to me, whatever. I don't... Maybe I can. Maybe if it does apply to me, I'll use it as a learning experience to move forward. I'm not the expert on this. I'm not perfect. You know, I've learned some stuff in the past few years. You know, stereotypes that I'd never heard of, things that black people go through I wasn't aware of. I didn't grow up learning about this stuff. You know, this is all stuff I've been exposed to slowly, through the years that I've known black people. They've brought it to my attention. Saying not me, not me, or not all white people, it doesn't change anything. Great, you're the exception. Or your family's the exception. It doesn't. Stop centering yourself. Allow people to vent, allow black people to vent sometimes without trying to put yourself in front of that. There's no reason to. If it doesn't apply to you, whatever. You know, it's better to try to end racism and do something about racism than going around shouting about how not racist you are. You don't need to tell us you're not racist. No one needs to hear it. You know, just show us you're not racist. You know, actions speak louder than words. But, all right. I think I've basically made my point that it's not so much that black people can't be mean, because they can. It's just that black people can't really take any real action about racism without facing stiff and swift repercussions. And white people, on the other hand, get away with it over and over and over and over again. Even when banks discriminate against black people, for lending and interest rates and things of that nature, the people who did it, they don't go to jail. The bank receives a fine, comes out of the bottom line of the bank, but it's a drop in the bucket. And the people who did it, they still got their golden parachutes. There's no repercussions. They can just do it. And they can just laugh their way to the bank, cash their happy checks, and that's what I'm saying. It's different. It's clearly different. There is a line, and it's not blurry. It's not blurry at all. Figure this out. It's not hard. So that's the difference to me as a white person. The difference between the power of racism amongst white people and black people. I hope that I was clear, and this will be the last thing I say.